ComC is your home to buy, sell, and flip all the hottest trading cards. Are you tired of spending hours listing cards for sale? Well, ComC Marketplace is the easiest place to sell cards online. ComC will identify, scan, list, store, insure, package, and ship. Just send them your cards, and they take care of the rest. All you have to do is set the price. Visit ComC.com today to start selling your cards. You're listening to the Wax Pack Hero Sports Card Minute, a podcast where we discuss both the hobby and business sides of collecting. I'm your host, Mike Summer, and I want to help you buy, sell, and trade your way into a collection you'll love. I love set collecting. More specifically, I love building vintage sets. I love building baseball vintage sets. I've put together some vintage basketball sets. I've put together a few vintage football sets even. I just love that process of building a vintage set. I love having that historical record of what players were playing at those times, what the teams looked like, what the uniforms looked like. I love building vintage sets. And when people find out about that, they ask me a few questions, and one of them is often, how do you go about building your vintage sets? What's the approach that you take? And there are a few different approaches to vintage set building, and I plan to run through the pros and cons of them here today in this episode. And at the end, I'll share what has worked best for me. Now, I love sports cards, and ever since I was a kid, one of the favorite aspects of collecting has been building sets. From that first 1986 top set I put together via weekly packs from the grocery store, to the mid-90s basketball sets that I built just prior to taking my hobby hiatus, I loved capturing the full historical snapshot of a season that comes with a complete set. When I returned to the hobby in 2015, I tried to pick up right where I left off. However, instead of four or five sets to build each year, there were dozens and dozens. And it didn't take me long to realize that this wasn't going to work. It took me a few years, but eventually I found that set building passion was focused on building vintage sets. That's just what I was enjoying. There was no doubt I love these cards. The question was, what is going to be the best way to go about building these sets? First, you can always just buy the complete set. If you're a no-nonsense type of collector and prefer to just see card, buy card, then just buy the complete set option could be great for you. It is by far the fastest way to get a complete set. And while fast, it also takes the biggest amount of upfront cash. For example, depending on what year you're going after, you can find complete sets on eBay ranging from about $250 for something like a 1977 Topps baseball set to $6,000 to $8,000 for a 1957 set. Now, it could be higher, it could be lower depending on condition, but that's the kind of range you're talking about and the type of cash you'll need up front if you want to just buy the complete set. If you've got the upfront cash on hand, it's probably the cheapest way to get a vintage set. In almost every instance I've seen, the cost of a complete set is cheaper than buying the cards individually. You save on the cost of the cards themselves, and if you're mainly buying online, the cost for shipping one set is way cheaper than you'd pay in shipping dozens or even hundreds of individual orders. Saving money is always nice, but there's a couple drawbacks to this approach. First of all, the condition of vintage cards varies widely. There are no factory sets in the vintage era, so therefore all of the hand-built sets you find contain cards that have varying levels of condition. Now, some sellers have done their best to build sets with a more consistent condition level, but unless you're buying the set in person, it can be hard to know the condition of each and every card. For my vintage set collection, I'm more concerned with having an authentic card. I don't expect these cards to be perfect, nor do I want to pay the cost of a near-mint vintage set. So a little bit of condition variability in my sets is okay with me. Now, it may not be for you, so just keep that in mind. Another potential drawback is that while it's the overall cheapest way to get the set, it also can take a larger amount of cash up front, which means that you may have to go weeks or months sometimes without buying any cards if you want to save up enough to pay for that big ticket purchase. And finally, some collectors enjoy the hunt and the process of putting together a set one card at a time. That enjoyment gets taken away if you're buying a complete set. The next strategy that some collectors use, another popular approach, is to buy commons first and the stars last. So in this strategy, a lot of times you can start off with a purchase of a starter set with a couple hundred cards. It kind of provides that foundation to build off of. Then once you've got your checklist created, you can start filling in the holes with commons purchased from Sport Lots, ComC, or other local shows and shops. Some collectors who use this approach will also mix in the occasional star or more expensive high number card in their process. You don't have to necessarily only buy the cheap cards first. The main advantage to this strategy is that you get to more regularly add cards to your collection, and you get that satisfaction of checking cards off your checklist. For many people, that sense of accomplishment is part of the fun. In my opinion, the only real downside of building sets this way comes up if you aren't really sure that you want to focus on building vintage sets, or are doing so primarily with the goal of reselling them. When I was recently a guest on Jeremy Lee's Sports Card Live show, I had a chance to ask Leighton Sheldon from Vintage Breaks about this. And in his opinion, the biggest downside of this approach is that if you lose interest in the set build partway through, the resale value of your partial set will be much lower without the star cards, and it might also be more difficult to sell. For established collectors who already know that they love vintage sets and have proven already that they're going to stick with that process to completion, this downside doesn't seem to be that big of an issue. However, if it's your first set, or you're still figuring out if you like vintage set collecting, you might want to take that into consideration. The third approach is stars first, commons last. Buying the expensive cards first was Leighton's recommendation. And when you do it this way, you've got a bigger upfront cost because you're buying those stars in high numbers, but you know that regardless of where you're at with the set building process, you've got some significant cards in your collection. If you need to generate some quick cash, you'll be able to sell them individually or as a partial set at a higher price. You'd definitely at a higher price than if that set was mostly commons. Some collectors find that they enjoy the idea that the hard work was done up front. They find closing things out by buying the cheaper and easier to find commons is more fun and relaxing to them. It's kind of like the happy hour of set building. I've found that this approach is very common with collectors who started their vintage collections with buying singles of Hall of Famers or other stars. It makes sense, right? If you spent time putting together a collection of vintage stars and then decide to go ahead and build out some complete sets, of course you'd be using the stars first, commons last approach. So that comes down to this. What is my strategy? How do I go about building my vintage sets? Well, for the most part, I use option two. When I buy collections, I always set any vintage cards aside. And if they're from a set which I haven't built out yet, they go in a box with other quote-unquote pending set build cards. So then when I'm ready to start focusing on that set, I go through all of the cards I have from that year and I put together my starter set. Now, sometimes I already have a few of the stars and high numbers in that starter set, but more often than not, I end up starting with mostly commons and the more expensive cards. They're the ones that are still on my want list. And similarly, when I buy these collections, occasionally I've found that there are complete sets from the 70s or something like that that are already in there. And so I've even used that as an approach for some of these sets. It's just I didn't go out and buy it individually. I acquired that 70s vintage set as part of one of these collections I've purchased. Now, as a seller, I regularly use my store credit on Sport Lots and ComC to go and fill out these set needs. And what I've found over time is that, relatively speaking, there are fewer stars and high numbers available for those sets. So more often than not, I'm buying the commons and the semi-stars first. Occasionally, I do find competitively priced stars as well, and I use that store credit to buy those. And since I prefer to minimize the cash outlay when completing these sets, I use that store credit first to fill as many of needs as possible, and then eventually I fill out the rest of my sets using eBay, card shops, and shows. And like I said, typically it's the stars that I still need. For example, I'm down to only needing 3 cards for my 1959 top set. I need a Sandy Koufax, I need the Gibson Rookie, and I need a high number mantle. Those are the last 3. The other set that I'm actively working on right now is the 1966 Topps baseball set. And it's the high numbers that are still missing. I'm down to somewhere around 30 high numbers to complete that set. I've pretty much cleaned out the sport lots and the ComC inventory of those cards that I need, so I'm picking them off one by one on eBay every couple weeks. When I'm at a local card shop or if I'm at a local show, I'll look through their vintage and see if there's any of those that I need that are competitively priced, and I'll pick one or two up from there as well. I don't have to have these complete sets done right away. I'm fine with being patient, and so that's the projects that I'm working on, and over the course of the rest of this year, I'll probably be able to pick up those remaining cards that I need. I've built dozens of vintage sets at this point, so there's not really a risk of me losing interest. My goal is to keep working all the way back to 1951, so my determination to stick with it, it's pretty well established. And so that's why this option 2 has typically worked best for me. It allows me to combine this goal of not using out-of-pocket cash to use the store credit first with that long-term process of getting the cards that I need. So wrapping it up, when it comes down to it, there really isn't a universal right way to build vintage sets. It all depends on how you as a collector prefer to collect. It depends on how much cash you have available at any given time. And in reality, you'll likely find your vintage set building story will contain a mixture of all 3 strategies, kind of like mine. If you're a vintage set collector, let me know your approach. Reach out to me on Twitter at TheMikeSummer. Send me an email at waxpackhero@gmail.com. Find me on TikTok, Instagram, or Threads at waxpackhero. And let me know how you go about building your vintage sets. That's all I've got for you today. So I'll catch you next time.